Welcome this week to Gaming Disassembled. My name is J.Dot Sloan, and with us as always is Matt Mueller. The title of this week's show is called J.Dot Was Too Fucking Hungover to Even Show Up This Week for the Podcast, so we're doing it the day after Christmas. And this is me pretending that we're going to do this on purpose so that we can talk about the awesome stuff that we got for Christmas today. So this was planned. My hangover was planned, Matt.
Okay, since we outed that, okay, I have to say, I laughed out loud because, like, I was just away from my computer for a little bit, and so I went over it, and my girlfriend got home and was like, how was the show? And I was like, well, we didn't da-da-da-da, whatever. So then, like, we were just doing our own thing. So then I got back to my computer and, like, looked at my, like, Twitter feed, and then looked at my emails, and oh my god, it was hilarious. Oh my god, I suck!
Yeah.
In giant caps.
Because
oh, I saw.
I
oh,
suck
funny.
In giant caps. Oh, it was just funny. Especially funny to me that my dad woke me up. He gave me a phone call, you know, because it's the night before Christmas, and he wanted to know how to cook crab legs, which I guess was, or it was the Sunday before Christmas, whatever. So, you know, he's like, you know, my dad, he's doing dad things like, oh, you know, I love you, I'm embarrassing, I'm a dad. And then he's like, oh, do you do video Skype? Because grandma is on video Skype now, and we were thinking we should do, like, family video Skype stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, I totally Skype all the time. Motherfucker, I gotta go. Like, this was at 8 o'clock. We were supposed to, my time, podcast at like 6:30. So, like, it's not even like I'm 15 minutes too late. It was, I was on the couch, passed the fuck out because I had way too much rum the night before.
Oh my god, that's funny.
Yeah,
it's pretty
it
funny.
Was a thing. So yeah, so let's make the most of it because now we get to talk after Christmas, which means that we get the lovely bonus of getting to talk about what Christmas was like. I'm gonna let you go first because I know I'm just gonna. I already know I'm super happy about my Christmas, so I'm curious about yours, sir.
Okay, so I tweeted this. If anyone was paying attention to my Twitter feed, part one of my present was my Captain America toothbrush.
I saw that.
Which was the shit, and you touch the shield, and then, like, power's on. That was awesome. And then I mentioned in passing one day that I love air hockey. I think it was when we went to Dave & Buster's one time. So my girlfriend got me a portable air hockey table.
Wait, and how do you have a portable air hockey table?
Well, it's, like, smaller, but it's, like, it's the whole table, but it's just, like, it's enough to where you can actually carry it to someone's house. So, like... And it has all the battery-operated stuff underneath, so, like, okay. The air pops up and all that stuff. Like, it floats and everything. So,
nice.
Yeah, and
yeah,
you have to put it
I was at a pizza joint a few weeks ago with John, and there was an air hockey table. And I was really surprised that he didn't completely whoop me. Like, I still lost, you know, unsurprisingly, but I thought for sure it was going to be a total rout that he was just going to be like, oh, it was nice that you tried, Jada.
It's fun. It's fun as hell, but she actually customized it for me. So, like, there's pictures all around it that she printed out and taped on there of, like, Green Lantern and Cap and X-Men babies.
See, I had a similar experience, but I didn't get an air hockey table. John's parents bought me a couch blanket that is Marvel Avengers. It's got Captain America
nice. And
the Hulk and Iron Man on it. Which is really nice. I mean, it's a nice blanket too. It's like my super favorite blanket now. But I'm laughing because I'm like, apparently your parents are under the impression that I'm a 12-year-old boy, and they're kind of right, you know. Like, and I'm surprised they figured that out on their own because it's so very true. So then I opened that was a Christmas Eve present. So on Christmas Day, I'm opening the presents that my dad sent me, and there's a little keychain in there. It's one of these randomized figures, but it's another Marvel figure. So now I've got a tiny little keychain Wolverine too, and I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Apparently. My own parents also know that I'm a 12-year-old boy, and I appreciate this knowledge being common.
I was at her brother's son's birthday party, okay? So he's like, his name is Justice. He's like, you know, 6, 7, whatever. Actually, I think he's 6. So his birthday party was an Iron Man party.
Oh, dude, were you jealous?
Oh, my God, it was awesome, right? And so, like, this was only maybe, like, the second time that I had, like, met her family. Right? So, I mean, I didn't know everybody as well and things like that. And so I was still getting to know a couple of them and things. And so I, like, the joke was made that was like, oh my God, this is basically, we're just going to take all this down and use it at Matt's birthday. And
yeah.
Anissa says it and stuff. And the friend was like, oh, that's kind of funny. And like, no, you don't understand. Like,
no, that wasn't a joke.
It wasn't a joke. I'm taking all this shit with me home. So that, because he was awesome. He had like Iron Man plates, and he had the Iron Man. The cake was made of cupcakes that were all Iron Man, and they all had his. Oh God, I'm losing my nerd card here. his chest piece, and I was I've blanked on the name of what reactor? That's called. Yes, thank you. Wow,
I'm helping.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah. So anyway, it was kind of funny. So like here we had like a little Christmas party deal on Christmas Day, and we had like Captain America plates and Avenger stuff. She knows me very well. She knows me very well. So.
See, and it's awesome.
Yeah. It is awesome. And I got a Spider-Man calendar.
A Spider-Man calendar?
Yes,
I did. Is he like doing sexy pinup poses? Because Spider-Man can kind of do that.
No.
No. Not your thing?
No, not my thing. That's the other calendar that's in the other room.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Not to you know, put your family and Anissa on the spot here, but if you had to pick a favorite, what was your favorite?
Oh, it was my favorite gift?
Yeah.
Oh,
You can, if you want to cheese out and be like the love and time spent with family and friends, I won't blame you. I know.
No,
I know your friends actually listen to your show. I can call out whoever.
I think it's the hockey table.
Really?
Yeah, because we set it up and then we played for like 30 minutes.
Oh, sweet. Did you win? Did you win? Who won?
I won both times. The second time was close. However, because it's portable, it's like I have giant like sausage fingers. And so by the end of it, like, I swear, I had bruises on my knuckles. Because it's condensed space. It's like when normally in air hockey, you know, you're ramming the paddles together.
Right.
And you have enough plastic in between that you don't even touch your hand. Not so here. So when you ram it, like, your fingers ram their fingers or hit the plastic.
So like, it's like a air hockey crossed with slapjack. Is that basically?
Yes, pretty much. So like by the end of two rounds, my hands were so hurting. I was like, oh my God, we gotta take a break. My knuckles can't take it anymore.
So for me, so back in October before John even moved in or anything like that, you know, I'd mentioned that I'd always wanted to learn to play guitar. Now, he plays electric guitar and electric bass, and I played with his electric guitar and electric bass and sucked at it so bad that I was just like, obviously I was wrong about wanting to learn to play the guitar. Like, this was a poor choice that I had made in decision, so I'm just gonna let it go. So, but he apparently, like I said, back in October, he bought me an acoustic guitar because I wanted to learn how to play guitar. So I unwrapped this present. He just basically trots out with this huge freaking guitar on Christmas Day, and I'm like, you know, like, not only is he paying attention, it's like perfect boyfriend present. Like, he totally got the billion boyfriend points at that point.
Yeah.
And then I pulled it out and downloaded a tuning app on my phone and proceeded to tune the guitar for like an hour, just fiddling with the strings and everything, and looking up chords and stuff. And the acoustic guitar is perfect. Like, I can totally play it.
That's awesome. You know?
So, yeah, I mean, I when I say I can play it, like, I will learn how to play it and not want to, like, put it through a window or anything. So, which is good, because a guitar is not exactly a cheap gift.
Exactly.
So, that's yeah, awesome. No, but strangely enough, I didn't get any video game gifts this year. And not, like, not that that's the end of the world or anything. I got a lot of really cool stuff. But apparently my gaming love, this is why I say my friends obviously don't listen to my podcast, because apparently my love of video games is a secret or something.
Well, and see, like me, I don't get, like, I didn't get any gaming related stuff either, but, well, yes, I got a game for my birthday. I didn't get one for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So I got Halo 4.
I don't know, maybe
4.
The air hockey counts, right?
I got Halo 4 for my birthday.
Nice.
Which was awesome. It was a gift from a bunch of friends.
I don't tell people about my birthday. That's secret information.
Well, I got that for my birthday. So I technically, and I got Live for a year. So like that was my gaming fix. So Christmas, I didn't really get anything, but like a lot of times with gaming, it's to the point where if someone did want to give me something, they would give me a gift card because they know I buy it for myself.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
You know,
like I bought John, you know, Xbox Live points, you know, I wasn't about to try and figure out something for him. I was just like, here's 1600 points. Go to town.
Yeah, and that's awesome, because I'd rather someone do that than, yeah, at this point, my family knows that, you know, I mean, okay, let's look at it this way. I have games pre-ordered that don't come out till next year.
Yeah, that's true too.
So, you know, it's like kind of, they're kind of out of luck trying to figure out, okay, well, what does he have pre-ordered and can we buy this or whatever? So they
Which is totally fair. I don't pre-order really much of anything anymore because, again, you know, with direct-to-download Steam, pretty much what happens is I try to convince myself that I can't afford the game, and then at one point I just break down and buy it on Steam. It's my spending habits right there. Anybody want to collect that data for marketing purposes, now you know. My gaming purchases are almost 100% impulse buys. Sounds like we both had a pretty good Christmas.
I think so. I'm actually excited. I'm leaving all my stuff up for, because we just moved in, and so sure. I'm leaving all my stuff up for, you know, like June.
June.
Yeah, our Christmas.
I don't think anything
is...
down till after New Year's. It's pretty much. There's like, I think the 5th of January is when the 12 days of Christmas ends. So that's the point after that where you're just lazy. But up to the 5th, you're totally still celebrating.
But see, past June, that just means you're hardcore. You can't do it in between. You have to do it either all out or you have to take it down. You can't like do it in between. You can't take it down like February because that just means, yeah, you're lazy. But if you're till June, then you get a special cool sweater vest that has a badge on it. Awesome.
All right. So since we're apparently doing our Christmas episode, I'm going to tell you something. I love terrible Christmas decorations. Like, I don't want any on my own house, but like driving around the neighborhoods and seeing the hideous and cheesy inflatable stuff. One of my favorite ones, there's a place up north on the north side of town that the people put out like this it's a cake, okay, but it's made out of particle board and paint and stuff to make the fake frosting and all of that. And it says on it, it's a blue and white cake that just says Happy Birthday Jesus, and it's huge, like it's like a 3-foot by 4-foot cake that they put out in their front yard. And I love that thing. And every year I want to like get a huge like novelty fork and go, you know, secretly cut out a piece of the fake cake and put the fork in its place, you know. But it was stuff like that, and the cheesy inflatable thing. Someone up the street had a Scooby-Doo Christmas inflatable set.
Oh, that's awesome.
People who put, like, horrible plastic nativities in their yards, and I'm like, I love you. I love every one of you for being so enthusiastic about Christmas that you don't even give any fucks about how trashy your decorations are. The point is that you have decorations and you're happy about it.
Damn right.
I adore it. So, you know, I admire your commitment to a year-round Christmas is really where I'm getting at there.
Well, okay, but see, to some people, those cheesy, trashy ornaments are, like, really classy. Like, they see them as, like, that's top of the line.
You think so?
Well, see, but they have to, right? Because they buy them because they like them.
See, I think that's just you trying to, you know, make people out to be cooler than they are.
Well, okay, but it's all opinion, right? So that leads us to Irrational's cover art for BioShock Infinite, right?
There you go. Right, right. So speaking of opinions on people's artistic choices, so I went and looked at the original cover because I was like, well, what's wrong with the original cover? Was it like horribly sexist or something? And no, it was just a dude with a gun. So
that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, it wasn't – it's not terrible. I'm not saying it's the best cover art I've ever seen, but, like, it's cover art. So I don't know. I don't put too much emphasis on it. Well, evidently, leave it to the Twitterverse and leave it to just fans in general. Yeah. To basically, you would have thought when that was released, I was amazed that I actually saw articles talking about it. Like, I actually saw people writing articles about this. And I was like, is this really a topic of discussion? Yeah. Because I'm like, it's a cover art. Who cares? And like, some people were literally like, I'm so disappointed. I was hoping for so much more. And it's like, it's cover art. It's, are you kidding? You look at the box for 5 minutes until you can get the little crappy stickers, security stickers off, and then it's in your Xbox or your PS3, and you don't care anymore. Like, it should not be an issue.
The part that cracks me up is they get pissed off about a dude with a gun, and yet, you know, how many times are we subjected to cover art that has a sexy chick hanging her tits out that has absolutely fucking nothing to do with the game?
But there's no polls there.
Right, nobody's changing that cover art. I mean, we write our articles about how stupid that is, but they're like, yeah, whatever. It just looks cool, all right? Get over it, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
so...
Well, the dude with the gun looks cool. You get over it.
It looks fine. And I guess the thing that made me kind of like, really? Was that in response to this, like, they kind of asked, you know, Ken Levine and the guys over there, you know, kind of about this, and they, it was almost like the Mass Effect thing, where I felt like they shouldn't actually have to defend it. Like, when they were asked this question, they shouldn't actually have to have some kind of PR answer. It should just go, well, it was the one we chose, and, you know, we had reasons, and this is that, and then that's it. It should be done. It shouldn't actually be something where they had to prepare a response. So, like, when they were talking about it, you were like, well, you know, we were doing this cover art. We had a couple of different choices, but we were doing this for, you know, the mainstream gamer, the gamer who doesn't read articles and doesn't look online at all these gaming sites every day. Like, for the gamer who's not necessarily, you know, doesn't know what Bioshock Infinite is and this and that, and they just want to look at something, and we want to just give a you know, a very, not generic, but, you know, whatever. And I'm like, why are you saying this? Why are you talking? You shouldn't have to talk. Fuck them if they don't like your damn cover art. Like, Jesus Christ. It's just stupid to me. And it was the same way with BioWare. I went, they shouldn't have had to make a new ending. If you don't like it, suck it. It's hard. Life's hard. Like, you know what I mean? Jesus Christ. Like, get over it.
You are so wound up about
I really
this.
Am. I'm sorry.
And it may be... No, it's okay. Because, you know, I'm sitting here drinking a beer. And that's pretty much the extent. So maybe I'm just having... I have prepared better to be relaxed for post-Christmas episode here.
I just... It drove me nuts. So, because they... And then, so they basically put a poll out there. It was so much negative feedback to the cover. I put a poll out there, and we're like, hey, we're thinking about changing it. So here are a couple options. So now they had this poll, and basically the fans picked it. So they picked this, which this might be the image we have, you know, for the podcast post or whatever. And you can see the cover. And yes, it does have more to do with the actual... What story universe? I mean, I don't even know.
But it's way less polished.
It's fine. I just.
Oh, look! You're like you sound like you're grudgingly admitting it might be kind of okay, but you're not really sure that it's. Well, I mean, it's obviously not
okay.
Necessary.
I have a good. Not a metaphor. I can't think of the
You're
term.
You're bad at words right now.
I really am. So here's the thing, though. Analogy. Haha. Analogy.
Haha. Haha.
Okay.
All right.
So Spider-Man, and I always bring it back to Spider-Man. Spider-Man had this big event, and it was called One More Day, and it changed, like, the continuity and the universe and all this stuff, right? And then they had Brand New Day, which was the event after that, and so... You know, the status quo had been set because of this 3-issue story arc. So now here's the world, which was called Brand New Day. Here's the world as it is now after this event. So I gave it a shot because I really disagreed with why they changed it and all this other stuff. So I was like, but you know what? I'm going to be fair. I'm going to give it a couple issues. I'm going to give it a shot. And I read it. And I read, like, the first couple issues. And afterwards, I went, here's the thing. It's not terrible. It's not great. So it's average,
right.
And if it's average, and the sampling that I had, was this why we changed all that? Because if this is why to get here, then to me it wasn't worth it because we're just mediocre. So why did we change from what some people said was mediocre before to get here? Like, right. It was a lateral move that didn't justify the change. Hence here. Is to me the same thing. It's a nice cover. The last one was a nice cover too. I feel like we just made a jump. And the fact was, unless it was shiny and foily and screaming at me when I walked up to it by me, unless it was doing that and had like a neon sign on it, there was no justification to change the damn thing.
Well,
like
I really have to wonder too, and this is the thing for me, you know, because they were trying to basically make box art to appeal for people who might be kind of outside the demographic, the diehard fans. Of Bioshock, but I don't shop for games on the basis of cover art, like, at all.
No.
You know, it wouldn't even matter what cover art was on the Bioshock thing. You know what convinced me that I wanted to buy Bioshock was I watched the most recent trailer that came out, the little gameplay trailer. Did you watch that?
Yes.
It was right. You see, and you're excited too. That's the point. So I watched this gameplay trailer, and then I went, oh, I should buy that so someone else in my house can play it while I watch, because I'm too much of a wuss to actually play the Bioshock games on my own, because they do suspense very, very well, and I just flip out, and we've had this discussion before.
Exactly.
about flipping Andrew's suspense games, but I was like, you know what? I have two other people in my house who do not have my special delicate condition who will probably happily play this game for me while I watch, and that's worth it for me to buy and you know make a couple other people happy because they get to play a game, and that's what's worth it. But I never even saw any of the cover art until you sent me that link because I didn't give a fuck. I mean, like, and when I buy games, it's never I look at the box art and go, ooh. This box art's so pretty. I should purchase the game. I go, this is labeled as an RPG. Does it look like an RPG that is going to be fun? Or, you know, this game, I was looking at like something called Dark Souls, and I'm like, oh, it looks a little bit like Elder Scrolls, which I've been playing again lately. And, fun story. But okay, totally. Okay, side note here. Tangent. I'll brace it with tangent, so if you have to cut it, you can. But did you know that when you're playing Skyrim, you have the initial setup where you see the big dragon and then you get to escape from being imprisoned and then you go on adventures. If you never, ever pursue the dragon quest, like you don't go to the first town and tell the Jarl that there's a dragon, no more dragons appear in the game.
Really?
I have not seen a dragon since that first one. My whole comment right now is like, yeah, I saw a dragon once, and then I ran the fuck away. Best decision I ever made. Would you like some questionably purchased goods, you know? I'm going to, like, there's no random dragons. I'm going to the dragon mounts, and there are things there to fight or whatever that are protecting the dragon mounts, but no dragons at all.
Really?
I'm level 70. I haven't seen a dragon.
Now, is that a glitch, you think? Or is that actually just
no,
like a thing?
No, I think
that
it's part of the game design. I think the dragons don't start showing up until you basically find out that you're the chosen one or whatever.
Yeah.
And my character still has no idea that she's the chosen one. She's like, Dova what? No, I don't. Actually, I named her Dova so she could be Dova the Explorer.
Oh, that's awesome.
So yeah, random aside there on Elder Scrolls, but that's the kind of game I like. I go, I would like to explore things and fuck around and see what happens if you know try to subvert the plot or whatever, and that's a lot of fun for me. So I look for games that are similar to that. I don't look for games that have box art that's like super fancy or whatever.
Yeah, it was like Much Ado About Nothing, but the fact that it got so much A, coverage, and B, that actually got like a reaction from the company, and then enough like they changed it was just like, you know, there's a part of me that's like, well, I guess that's great for consumers, right? Because like, we have a voice and all this other bullshit. But in reality, like, it's not. To me, there needs to be a line of stop fucking bitching about everything, please. Like,
that could be the title of the episode. Stop fucking bitching.
Like, really? About everything. Oh, this ending sucked. Look, oh, it's whiny. Seriously, bunch of whiny motherfuckers constantly.
Post Christmas, you're like that kid that got too much excitement on Christmas Day. A little overstimulated there, Matt.
You're just like, ah, I want to grr. Drives me nuts. Okay, so enough about that then. So here's I'm gonna segue to something happy. Right, we gotta talk. Christmas time. A lot of people have vacation. And some time off to actually play A, either some of their backlog, or B, the new stuff that they got. So if you had your choice of three games, any three games from the entire year, and you had like a week of Christmas vacay, and you were just going to do nothing but vacation game, which games from this year would you have?
So it's snowing pretty hard out right now. Like, I actually got sent home from work early today, 2 hours, because the weather was just that bad. And we were talking about at work the last time that happened, which was a couple years ago, that we all got snowed in, and to wherever you were stuck there for like 3 days. I was a mile from my house at a friend's house. So luckily I could at least run home and grab underpants or whatever, but not everyone was so lucky. And that weekend, it was like 3 or 4 days, and I did nothing but play Mass Effect for like 12 hours a day because I was snowed in. And I got to tell you that is bomb as hell. So when you asked me this question, I was like, all of them. All of the games.
All of the games.
I would probably... I still haven't beat Borderlands 2 because I'm scared of messing up my wrists now. That's my excuse, you notice, that I gave up. I'm like, no, it hurt my wrist. I better not play it anymore. But, you know, maybe I would finally man up and finish Borderlands 2. I probably would play... I don't even... Did Skyrim come out this year? Was that a this year one? Or am I just playing old games now?
Skyrim was... Oh God, was Skyrim like?
November 11th, 2011. Yeah, okay. So that was part of Portober and all that last year. All right, so I guess that doesn't count. I don't know. I haven't played a ton of new releases this year. They just didn't have as many. Like last year, there was Skyrim and Dragon Age and Mass Effect and all the games that I really love. And this year, it's been like there was a Halo release, wasn't there?
Yeah, and, Halo 4.
Which I don't play.
Kind of a big game.
Yeah, I know, really. Is that one game?
Wasn't there that one, Hello? Call something? For Shorts?
Call for Shorts.
Yeah, you know that one game, the Shooty Shooty? Yeah, one.
So this basically, this year was a lot of Shooty Shooty games that I don't play as much. You know, I'm not invested term. In the franchise the way that I am in other games. And so it was just like, okay, you know, like I appreciate that these games exist and I'm sure they're a lot of fun. But at this point, to get into them, you know, I would mean having to make space from the other games that I'm playing. It wasn't my year for games this year. So probably my week of Christmas would be going back and replaying all of the games that I love best in the world. In fact, this, you know, I think last time we talked, I was talking about how much I wish there was a port for Chrono Cross and Chrono Trigger for the tablet, like there is a Bard's Tale.
Yeah.
And then this today, I was like, well, maybe I should just go see if there's like a computer ROM or something. Like, I think I still technically have my PlayStation 2, but I don't think I've turned it on in years. If I turn it on now, it'll probably like summon the devil or something. You know?
I don't know. Around. It might actually still work. Is it a Slim or a regular?
It was a regular.
Wow.
So
damn.
A Slim. Yeah, so it's kind of, it's, but you know, so I'm like, you know, but that's what I was like some reason today, I was just really missing Chrono Cross, just nowhere.
I don't know. That.
It's like missing an old girlfriend from high school or something. Where you're just like, man, that chick was really great. I wonder what happened to her. I hope she turned out okay.
I kind of had that today too, actually, in a way, because my buddy Clayton, who I work with, he's just wrapped up Dragon Age 2, and so almost like living vicariously through him. He'll like come and tell me about it. Like he just finished up. He's like, oh man, this was cool. This was cool. And it's like, he's describing all these things. And I was like, man, I really like to go play that. Like, yeah. I was like, I could so get into like, you know, a BioWare fantasy RPG at the moment. Like that's what I'm craving kind of at the moment, but there's not really.
It's kind of a year that was kind of light on RPGs. So maybe they've got our cravings up and they can release some stuff. Hey, speaking of RPGs and especially classic style RPG play.
Nah.
Look at that, that way. We're almost pro fucking professionals. So there's, you sent me this link. This is actually the part. This thing was kind of really interesting. Was that for Pure Solar, and the images associated with the article are totally completely evocative of that classic RPG. The kind of what's the word for it when it's that style. Sprites and all that stuff works. What was that? Yeah, the 8-bit. Yeah, the 8-bit kind of style. But really pretty 8-bit. Maybe 16-bit. I don't know.
Yeah, 16-bit.
16-bit. But yeah, so like it's gorgeous. And it's totally that exact. Like I think that's probably what gave me the craving for Chrono Cross today and Chrono Trigger, because I was looking at that going, man, I miss my old RPGs. You know? But here's the thing that's interesting with Pure Solar and this game that they're producing. Is that they're producing them for, my way of putting it, would be out-of-date consoles.
Exactly.
Like the Nintendo and the Genesis. And
especially the Genesis.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a marketing strategy that I am not sure about.
Well, and what's funny, right, is that if everybody were doing it, it wouldn't work. But it's the fact that these consoles, it's one of those things that it's a product of the times. So now we're getting to the point, right, where Ataris and like, you know, ColecoVisions and like all these, you know, TurboGrafx and all these things, all these old systems are not just shit that you have in your attic. They're actually considered collectibles.
Okay.
And so like you're being like, now you can actually go to a pawn shop, right, and take these old systems, and they will actually buy them from you because they're selling them to collectors. And the market has changed because time has just moved on. So
wait, there might be a market for my old PS2 that might summon the devil.
We'll see. Now we're getting there, right? Because now we're on at this point, considered collectible would be Genesis, NES, Super NES, anything 16-bit era. You're right along there. Now, when you go right past that, I don't think, like, you know, PlayStations and Saturns maybe, just because they're rare, no one cares. But I mean, you know, and Dreamcast are the same thing, right? But not because of the how old they are. It's just because they're now, like, you know, not making them anymore, and they're kind of were always a collector's item even back then. And so
when they were new, people were like, "Well, this isn't gonna last."
You know, I was telling someone on Christmas, I'm like, I just want to buy one and hang it on my wall. I don't even want to play it. I just want to hang a Dreamcast on my wall and just, I want it. I just want it in my house. But it's just, you know, so now we're getting to that point. And so because of that, you know, these systems haven't had games, new games for them in forever. But you can go to any, like, I say real game store. It's not what I mean. But, like, some of the smaller game stores that aren't GameStop, where they actually carry some of the older systems and things, and they'll have, like, you know, a Genesis for, you know, $20, and it'll come with two controllers and, like, five games. And more people are, like, buying some of these older systems.
I wouldn't even know how to hook that up to my TV. I really...
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, I'm used to, like, the HDMI cable, so that would require, like, coax and weird hookups and shit, you know?
Well, what's kind of cool is that... especially the Dreamcast. So the Dreamcast is perfect for this. Since the Dreamcast died so early in its life, even like as of recently, I think as of last year, there's still games being made for it, right? By these small indie companies and things like that.
I didn't even know. Really?
Yeah. And they're still, like, they're releasing them kind of like here. So they're releasing them, like, they'll send it to you. It comes in a box. It's like a brand new title, you know, and whatever, and they're still producing them, and because of the collectible market, and there's enough people out there who actually kind of want new content for this, you know, thing they bought for, you know, $30 on eBay or whatever, there's a market for it, and there's not a ton of people doing it. And the same way here. Now, I didn't realize there was such a big Sega community. It would make sense now that I think about it, but I just didn't really understand that there was a huge Genesis community out there. But it turns out there is.
The closest I've come to a Genesis community is having been exposed to way too much Sonic, like, fan-made porn. So
wow. Yeah, just type in Sonic in the DeviantArt and you're bound to get one of those.
Oh my god, right? Like, and totally by, you know, I'm going to say it totally by accident and we can all make fun of me. Like, sure, Jen, you're sure not looking up Sonic porn. But it's just one of those things that one of those, like, inevitabilities of the internet, you know, absolutely, that you'll come across from fucking Sonic porn.
I was going to say, or any cute character.
There's a comic artist I know who reposts the weirdly religious Sonic porn, or not Sonic porn, but weirdly religious Sonic fan art. Like, for some reason, there's a huge crossover between fundamentalist religions and kids who like Sonic.
Oh, that's crazy. I didn't even realize that.
Right. Like, just random. I mean, the world is totally a random place sometimes, but.
So it's kind of cool, right? So there's a small market of these companies and these indie developers and stuff doing this. And if you think about it, it's, if you don't have the passion, don't do it, because you are going to have so many limitations. And they even talk about it in this article. It was on Game Informer. And the creators of this particular one is Watermelon is the name of their company. And they have a website and kind of a Magical Game Factory is what it's called. And that's where they sell their stuff. But the name of the developer is Watermelon. And they're kind of... they've been around for a little while, but they're still trying to, you know, really break into, you know, bigger development, things like that. And they're a growing, you know, small company and things like that. So if you have the passion to do it, it's actually a really nice entry point, because it's not like you have to wait on dev kits. It's not like you have to wait on any of this. You don't have to go through a ton of PR until it gets to a point where it's actually like a thing and not just an idea in your head. And you can actually just get started, you know, and prove your chops. And the thing is, this game has actually, a lot of the guys met on the Sega forum years ago, and they were all big RPG fans, so they kind of stuck out to make, very much an homage to classic RPGs. And the fact is, it's sold pretty well, and they've had to do like 3 or 4 reprints, and they keep selling them. And so now it's to the point where they actually want to do, they're going to do an HD remake. And they're going to bring it to basically all the new systems digitally, except for the Dreamcast. And they are going to put a Dreamcast version out there, but it's going to be on disc. But they're going to bring it to the one that intrigued me most was it's coming to PC, Mac, and Linux.
Right. So and now you're like,
Exactly. Yes. Like, that might be really nice to just have an old school RPG like that. It's turn based. They've added some stuff. The one thing that kind of intrigued me was, you know, they've tried to stick a balance between, like, too many random battles and not enough. And, like, all those little nitpicky things that we've gotten on RPGs, old, especially, you know, classic RPGs over the years. Like, they're trying to kind of fix some of those things. And right. I'm excited. Like, I want to play this damn thing. They're aiming for December of next year. But they went ahead and did a Kickstarter. The first times, though, they actually didn't. They just did pre-orders on their website, and they had enough pre-orders
to just, like, do it.
To just do it. And, you know, they're not paying themselves, really. Like, it's all kind of out of love for this thing. And it's just kind of neat. But...
Yeah, I'm mostly, like I said, like the product itself looks great. Like, you know, the second I saw it, I was instantly transported to happy nostalgia land.
Exactly.
And that was cool. It just, like, it just really surprised me that there was a market for, I mean, I'm going to say it again, dead consoles, you know?
I mean.
So, I don't know. Would you, I mean, like, does that appeal to you, Matt? Do you go, you know, yeah, you know, if I could get my hands on a Sega Genesis, that might actually be a really fun thing to do, or?
It's hard for me. I have a. To be honest, I think the only systems that I would do that on would be a Dreamcast or a PS2. Like, I can't go back farther, because I did that, and I guess in my I don't know, like, there's a barrier of entry for me for whatever reason if to go beyond that. Like, it, and I loved the Genesis. That's what was my first system. So it's not out of, like, you know.
Baby. Yeah, and I see, for me, I just, you know, basically we agree as usual. But one of these days, it's just going to be a topic we disagree on, and it's going to be like the whole show, just us yelling at each other.
Yes, and it'll sound like the first segment with me bitching about this.
I know. But you know, so... I mean, it's just, I think for me, it's like the lack of support, you know, it's that same thing where you still, you know, you talk about getting into development because you have a love for it. Having a Sega Genesis would have to be, have a love for it. Cause it's not a system that you can go get fixed or easily replace, or, you know, if something goes wrong with it or whatever. And it's inherently a pain in the ass, because we've made, you know, tons of improvements on console development and now PC gaming, of course, and all of that. So, you know, there is an implicit amount of, this is going to be more difficult than it needs to be, because you're going to sit there and think, you know, like, if I were just playing this on the PC, I could just push the button and be done with, you know, whatever. So,
And there's also a thing for me that I'm not a graphic snob by any means, but, you know, because I play a lot of, you know, especially, like, you play anything from Atlus RPG-wise, it's always very pretty art style-wise, but it's always, like, you know, leave something to be desired in the actual hard, you know, the hardware department. But there's just a thing sometimes, like, Xbox Live Arcade game, I would play this. It's weird. If I had a Dreamcast and I were to pop this in and go, oh, this is a new RPG, I'd play it probably for hours. If I had this on Xbox Live Arcade, I don't know if I would. And I and it's weird, but I think there's a thing of, okay, right now I'm on this system. There are, like, 10 other games that I could be playing right now that, like, I really feel are worth it for me to play on this system, right? I have a cabinet full of, you know, Arkham City and Halo 4 and Mass Effect 3 and all these games that are, like, top of the line. They've got all this, you know, next gen stuff.
Did you try at least the demo for Bastion?
I did.
And I mean, did you buy the game at all, or?
No, I didn't stick with it.
I didn't stick with it either. And I think it's that same thing that you're talking about, because it was like, you know, like, it seemed like it was an all right game, but it was that same thing where it's like, okay, well, this is gonna turn into kind of a slog, grindy combat fest that's supposed to be reminiscent of, again, like the 16-bit gaming. And frankly, you know, I'm on an Xbox at this point, and there are much prettier, much more engaging games that I can play. So, yeah.
Cthulhu Saves the World was another one. I tried out the demo, loved the sense of humor, it was funny to me, but I played those graphics and I went, and I'm doing the menu, you know, like, do it's old school RPG, and I'm picking right. the menu, and it's first person, all this stuff, and I'm like, I don't want to play this on my nice ass TV. Like,
are
I don't.
We like, are we like old and crotchety? What is this?
I just. Well, see, but if we were old and crotchety, would we want to play it? Because
maybe that's true. Yeah, yeah. So what is this phenomenon? We're like,
I don't know.
Are we being like gaming hipsters?
Maybe. You know, I was wearing my fedora when I was playing it, so maybe that was it. Like, I don't know. I just, there's a thing, it happened to me many a time where I've like loaded up this game and it's like, Braid's another one. Or I've loaded up this game and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'm ready. I want to play this. And the mechanics are interesting. And I could see myself enjoying parts of it. But then I go, man, this feels like so underpowered. Like, I just feel like, I want to play something that actually utilizes my machine, you know? And
yeah,
not
I played Braid, but then I'm not smart enough for that game. I'm just going to straight up admit it that, you know, that game, I got maybe 80% of the puzzles, and then I had a friend of mine come over and beat the rest of the game for me. Like, he was there for a party, and I was kind of fiddling with it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not very good at it. And he's like, well, he's like, I got most of these figured out. Do you want me to play the levels you're missing? And I'm like, yeah, go for it. It's like hiring someone to beat your games for you.
Yeah, it was. It's interesting. Here's the thing. So when it comes out in December, are you gonna buy it?
If it's on the PC, yeah. Which we're talking about that. We're talking about the game we were talking about originally, yeah. Not Braid, obviously, right?
No, not Braid, but Pure. Yeah, yeah. Pure Solar. It comes out on the PC next Christmas. You buying it?
It would depend on the price point too. I mean, if it's a $60 game for a retro clone,
no,
then probably not.
I can't do
you
that.
Know, and again, because for $60, guess what I can get? You know.
Yeah, that tends to be my thing too. I have a really hard time, like Xbox Live Arcade games, I have a really hard time paying any more than $10.
Right.
Because to me, the price doesn't justify, like, what you get doesn't justify the price. I'm only going to get, you know, maybe 5 to 10 hours out of this game anyway. And then,
well, but I only got 10 hours out of Batman, and I paid full price for that, you know. Over 10 hours, but like the initial playthrough was really only a 10-hour game. It just really has to depend on the gameplay. And for a retro clone where I could go get an actual retro game, say, for free online just by finding the right ROM, or for relatively cheap if apparently I just want to go buy a Sega Genesis, you know, it doesn't see. And it's kind of sad, really, because, you know, they put just as much effort into it as they would, you know.
Oh,
a full
top-tier title. And
yeah.
And it's nothing about the, I guess, and I also want to make sure of this, it is nothing about the quality of this product, because the screenshots look gorgeous. I love the art style. It's like, I am going to buy this if it's not out of reason, like, to me, if it's not unreasonably priced. As long as it's somewhere where I feel comfortable spending that kind of money on a retro RPG, you know, that, you know, it, but it's quality stuff. So I wouldn't even think about buying it if it weren't. So, like, that's not anything against the game. That's just kind of against titles like this,
right,
and software like this in general. I just have a hard time sometimes justifying, you know, it's like, do I really want it to take up, you know, hard drive space? Like, and that it's not to say it's not going to be fun or a blast. I remember my friend Ben, he was rooming with me back in high school. And this was at the time I had a PS2. And he came home one day, and we had this little store called Game Trader, like, down the street from us. And okay. It was, like, a for real hole-in-the-wall, looked straight out of, like, the 80s, like, gaming store. Like, you walked in, it was really dark. not because the lights were bad or you didn't have power or anything, but there was so much crap in there that it, like, sucked all
the light
out of the room.
Pass through.
Yeah, and he had, like, old arcade cabinets for sale, and then he had, like, every kind of old cartridge. He imported shit from Japan behind the counter, and, like, it was hard to walk in this space. You had, like, one little aisle, and it was a big circle, but he had, like, new stuff as well as, you know, used stuff, and he was like, he ran a sale or whatever, and Ben walked in and he had a bag, and it was a Sega Genesis and like 10 games and two controllers, and it was like he paid $12 for it. And he's like, dude, I saw it, and I was like, why not? That'd be fun, right? And he bought like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Avengers, like the old school beat 'em up Avengers game, and Castlevania, and he bought all this awesome shit. Like, this awesome.
And here's
game.
The other thing too. I mean, when you think about retro clones and stuff and where we're willing to spend the money for it, John brought with him a Game Boy Advance, okay, when he moved in, that was part of the swag that came with him, and he's got some of the original Castlevania games nice. To go with it, right? And that's exciting. But if you tell me I can play the original Castlevania games on my Xbox, I'd be like, eh.
Well, so Symphony of the Night was a game that I missed on when it came out originally. And I heard nothing but wonderful things about it ever since the PlayStation first came out. And then they released it, the, you know, revamp, remake thing on the Xbox Live Arcade. And I played the demo and went, yeah, okay, that's cool. And never touched it again. Like,
but if you had it on a Game Boy Advance, you probably carried that thing with you everywhere.
I would go, oh, shit, awesome. You know, right. It's...
I can kind of see the retro gaming clone market for actual older consoles, if it's a, but for me it has to be that portable too, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. Sega Genesis isn't exactly portable. You can always buy a Game Gear.
Right. Well, but I think that adds to it too, you know, because you know, again, because when you're at home and you have your choice of what you can fire up to play that night, and you know, really, if I have a choice between firing up my tank of a gaming PC to play a really fun game and a beautiful game versus firing up my old as hell Sega Genesis for graphics that in no way should be were ever designed to be seen on an HD TV. I did that once with an old school game, and the pixels were like the size of my head. It was amazing. So, but you know, like, these are my options. I'm going to go... I will take the high graphics game. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly there. It dawned on me about something.
What's that?
You skipped me in my list.
Did I? Because it was a good segue. Fuck you.
But it was my list. I didn't get to say my list.
You had a list.
I had a list that was really well thought out.
Wait, we had the BioShock. We did the best of the year already. You decided you wanted to skip the Final Fantasy YouTube thing.
You did the best of the year.
You didn't do your list. Oh, that list. Oh. All right, ladies and gentlemen. And now, in a perfectly clean segue from the list that I just listed in the hopes that Matt edits this into the right order.
No, fuck no.
Matt,
I'm leaving it in.
No, it's going here now. Tell me.
I'm leaving it in. No, we're gonna do this out of order.
Your week vacation. What are you playing?
Oh, jeez. Well, now I'm self-conscious. I don't say
anything. Oh, I put you on the spot.
You really did. No. Okay, so, I split this up because I do everything over analytically. Okay, so I split this up. I need one game that I can always go back to because I need one like multiplayer, right? And then I need another game that I need two other games that don't get old, but I can replay. So being that in that vein,
like, you have this. Oh, I didn't realize that's why you said that you skipped the list, because you actually had this like really planned out.
I had this all thought out, right?
Okay.
So one is, and I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but Halo 4.
There you go.
Is one, because the multiplayer to me, of all the multiplayer shooters I've played this year. And I've played a couple of them, all the bigger titles. To me, it's the most I can just jump in, and it doesn't matter who's online. I don't actually need friends to play this. It makes it more fun.
I don't actually need friends.
No,
you
no.
You can just end it there. I know how you are.
It makes it more fun when I have them. But if I don't have anyone online, I can still jump into a round of Halo and Team Deathmatch or whatever, generic whatever, and have fun. And that is like the thing. If I'm going to play something when I actually have the time, I don't want to just be slogging through multiplayer for the sake of playing something. Like, I want to play something I'm enjoying. And Halo 4 tends to be that multiplayer thing for me, right? So, I can't. And I'm not the biggest Halo guy. I don't know all the lore and all that crap. But it's fun. Two was, I have to agree, Mass Effect 3. Mass Effect in general. But Mass Effect 3, because I can actually, all the DLC that has come out, like, I am actually preparing right now to go and start my big second playthrough that I always do when I wait for most of the DLC to come out. Even though they've just teased another DLCs in the works, I'm not waiting. I want to play some.
You're good.
You've
reached sufficient DLC mass.
Yes. And because gameplay-wise, it's a shooter, and it's still got RPG elements, and it's cool, and that kind of thing. So that would be in contrast to my last title, and I would buy the retail set of The Walking Dead.
Oh, the game.
The
Telltale game. I haven't actually played the game. I've heard nothing but good things about that game. Like that it's really intense involved in all of that. And I think you've talked to me about it a couple times too, about, you know, the choices you make and the way they feel like they really matter. Isn't that the one with the timed reaction too?
Yes.
Where you have to make your choice in a certain amount of time or it makes a choice for you. And it's usually the asshole choice.
Yes. It's normally the choice that you don't want to make. And the little meter goes down. It varies from question to question too. It's not the same meter every time. So some questions, some moments are going to go really fast. It's like you have to make a split-second decision because you would not have all the time in the world to mull it over. And I love that because sometimes, because you just sheer panic, you're looking and you say something. And it's very much what's great about that is how your choices really do affect the whole story. And it's funny that I was listening to We Can Confirm, and they were actually talking about this. It's kind of funny that both of these two are in my list because Mass Effect 3 and Walking Dead handle this in very different ways. You know, right. Mass Effect handles, you know, Paragon, Renegade, whatever. And you have, I mean, seriously, I have let the controller sit there, gone, made myself a sandwich, come back and sat and mulled over what the hell I was going to say.
Right.
And the same amount of
caring. That was always my pause screen equivalent, where you get to a point in a conversation where you're like, all right, I got to go use the bathroom and stuff. I'll get back
exactly.
in a minute, you know?
Yeah. And then you come back and nothing has moved. Nothing has changed. You have all the time in the world to pick your best chance. With Walking Dead, it's very much not that. And the biggest thing that people had against Mass Effect 3's ending was that, and this one was a valid complaint, but it was that your choices throughout didn't have enough effect on the ending. And as from what I have heard, I have not finished Walking Dead. I'm on the second episode now, and there's five total. And just from the first episode and what I've played of the second, like, it's just so, and I've played the first episode twice. And what was great was I picked different options, and it actually does dramatically change who is in your group, what your relationships are, and everything flows so well to the next one. And you really do build this body of work over five episodes. And it's just like, you can play that game a different way every time. And each episode, you can play differently. So, like, there's so much replayability there. And the voice acting's excellent. Like, the story's so, so good. Now, I do not agree. I've heard some people say that it was better than the book. And I don't agree with that. I think they're actually on par with each other. I don't think one's better than the other one, necessarily. I think it fits into the universe very well. So... Okay. I would totally tell you to go download the first episode, because right now on Xbox Live, they actually made the first episode completely free. Now, I don't know about Steam, if it's that way or not, but right now it's on sale for like $12 for like the whole damn thing.
That is tempting. I did just get, you know, a whole bunch of Christmas money, because it's Christmas and shit.
$12.49 for the whole five episodes. I would say it's worth it completely.
Okay.
So but it is excellent. So... those are my three, and if I had time, and there was a lot of good competition. I mean, XCOM's excellent.
XCOM's again. So this wasn't really like it was a year of great games, but a year of games that weren't for me. So XCOM's another one where it's a strategy game that I'm like, all I would do is lose and then get sad. You know, like I would spend all my time moping because I wasn't any good at XCOM. I'd get frustrated really easy. So, you know, but everyone who's into that loves it. And it's another game that I've considered getting for, like, John, because I think he'd have a really good time with it. But
it's so good. Yeah, I definitely recommend that one as well. And there's DLC out for it now. That's
right.
Cool.
There's that, too. Well, the thing that cracks me up about XCOM is, like, you had your discussion about how you named all your characters so lovingly and then had to watch in horror as they all died terribly.
Oh, it's awful.
And all of my friends have been naming characters after my other friends, and then they give play reports as to how you did in battle, and who got promoted, who flipped out and shot the hell out of someone else, and I'm very entertained watching the fictional, like, Sims of people I know, you know, in going into XCOM battle. So,
see, I couldn't name them friends. I just named them all, you know, geek culture characters.
Yeah. No, yeah. They naming them after actual people. Then they're like, I hate to report to you, Strasse, but your character got demoted to dead, you know. So even for someone who's not playing it, the game has still provided me hours of entertainment. Go figure, right?
It's good. It is good. And yeah, it's just a thing. It might not be for you, but it's a very good game. So, I mean, and there are still sales for that one, too, out there. So, but with that, let's go ahead and take a break. And then when we get back, we will jump into the collardables and some sounding off.
Sweet. I hope you enjoyed your little break. Got a drink, made a sandwich. We are swinging right into our collardables, which is a word I can't say without laughing to myself at the fact that Matt made up that word.
That's the point. That out
every week that he made up a ridiculous word up collectibles and art, and they are collardables. And if Brilliant. You say it with a toot, they're collardables. My art this week, by the way, is totally Christmas themed. And it's one of the things I love about Christmas is all the Christmas themed art. I drew Christmas themed art, you know, and all the artists I know like to put all of their characters into Christmas characters. So there was this comic book Christmas album collection by DeviantArt Bill Walko. Okay. And he riffed on all of these classic holiday albums and holiday art styles. And so you have these really, and it's a really, when I say cartoony style, that's not insulting at all. I mean, we're talking like Batman, the animated series kind of cartoony style, like the really good, like classic cartoon style. So you have like Tony Stark and friends making spirits bright, and it's this total 1950s riff, or 1960s on Dean Martin making spirits bright. And, you know, we have a very Titans Christmas, X-Ladies on the Block.
I love that one.
you Storm and Rogue and Emma and all that. What was that one riffing on? That was New Kids on the Block. That was from the...
Yeah, it was the New Kids on the Block.
That was from the 80s, I guess. It must have been late 80s for New Kids on the Block. I, of course, you know, was completely in love with the Harley Quinn one because I cannot get enough Harley Quinn in my life. But
I love the Little Joker Snowman.
The Little Joker Snowman, and that one was a riff on Mariah Carey's Merry Christmas to You. And I would totally take a Harley over a Mariah Carey any day, I'll tell you that right now. So so they were just really super adorable, and I completely fell in love with them and was throwing them everywhere I could online and didn't meet a single person who had a bad thing to say because they're that amazing.
I gotta say, my favorite, I think it's the Tony Stark, because I love Dean Martin. Like, I just love everything. And, like, the cover is just so perfect. Like, it's perfect. The giant martini, you know, it's like, and the olive that's popping up. It's like, oh, it's perfect. Like, it's so great. And I'm a little embarrassed to say that that cover of the Teen Titans, the 98 Degrees riff, it looks very familiar because I had that album. can't say shit about it, actually. Their harmonies are on point. All right, just shut it.
It's white.
Their harmonies.
Just
are great.
Us for Christmas. Get it? Justice for Christmas.
I'll put a drum roll there. Snare drum. But it's awesome. Like, I love this art. And I would love to see. I would love that Tony Stark one for my house. God, it would look so good in my living room.
We need these all as just like holiday prints we can just hang up at Christmas time. That'd be great.
Get on it.
So your art, I'm actually really amused by your art, and I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to let you tell you what it is, and then I'm going to tell you why I'm entertained by it today.
Okay, so I've got Adam Withers, who is actually an artist I met at Wizard World, like in 2008. I met him and his wife. They're an artist coloring team, And I actually have a Huntress that was drawn by them, hanging in my office. They actually, at the newest Wizard World, they did a commission for one of my favorite Batman villains, period. And to me, underrated, but, you know, Mr. Freeze is the shit what he's done right. And I love, like, I just really like this drawing of him. Like, the armor, and it's, like, all the hues of blue. And, of course, it's got him with the little capsule of his, you know, of course, his wife. So he's got, like, a piece of, and I don't actually know if it's just, like, a nice sculpture of her or if it's something else, but he's got that in his hand. I just love the colors and stuff, and it's all
beautiful. Shadows.
Yeah, it's really pretty. And I just love Mr. Freeze, and I say Mr. Freeze, and immediately what sucks is that people automatically think Arnold. And that sucks.
See, I don't, and that's the best part, because for me, Mr. Freeze is the character from the video games who was amazing, and awesome. And from the animated series, you know?
Yeah, that voice, perfect. God,
so this is why I'm entertained by the fact that you picked out Mr. Freeze art, because this morning I was having a discussion with John about Mr. Freeze and about, you know, how funny it would be if he decided that he was going to take a vacation somewhere sunny and, like, was on the beach just hanging out with, like, a foofy umbrella drink in his hand, and Batman comes to pester him, you know, because Batman suspects him of being evil, and he's just like, dude, Bats, you're being a dick. I'm just trying to enjoy... So I actually drew Mr. Freeze fan art myself today.
Did you really?
I did, of him hanging out on the beach with a drink and with a pink umbrella in his hand. So it is Mr. Freeze Day, apparently. Plus, it snowed a whole bunch, so it's definitely Mr. Freeze Day.
Yeah, I figured it was fitting with Christmas and the winter season and stuff, and I thought it was fun. Plus, I love – it'd be cool if he had, like, bathing suit armor. Was just all clear, but then there was. It would almost be like there was an episode of Monk where he's sick, and he has a humidifier in the room, but then to neutralize the humidifier, he has a dehumidifier, but then he has a second humidifier to balance out the dehumidifier.
Yeah, because you know winter can't be that interesting to him. He must be just like, whatever. This is my year round. I'm gonna go to freaking Honolulu. For Christmas, you know.
Why not? That's what he should do.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Sure. And then to keep warm, you've got one little thing before we get to the next thing.
So this is the thing that I love about the internet, is that it constantly proves to me that I have excellent taste in stuff. Because I find things and I start sharing them and I'm super excited. And then I see not my particular tweets, because I'm not on the radar of bigger internet celebrities. We'll put quotes around that for whatever internet fame is worth. But it's cool for me to discover things and get really excited and then see them get picked up by like Will Wheaton and these other people and go, oh, look at this really cool stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. Because I'm awesome at picking out cool stuff. You know, like, that's my claim to fame right there. So the thing is that they're basically 8-bit blankets, and they're knitted. And knitting, of course, lends itself perfectly to 8-bit, because it's basically fabric pixels, more or less, you know. So that really super pixelated art turns out to be just perfect for it. And the blankets themselves are... they're expensive, but they're not expensive. Like, you can go to the store and buy a blanket for $20-$30, and these blankets are $130. But they're handmade, and they're made to order, and they're fucking bitchin'. They're nothing you're going to find in a store anyway. So, you know, for something pretty unique and pretty interesting, it is definitely worth it to go all out and shell out for these. And they're enormous. They're like...
yeah, they're pretty big.
The small throw measures at 4 foot by 3.5 feet long, and then you can they make them much bigger than that. So I have to ask you, did you look at all the blankets? Did you pick out a favorite one that you really liked?
I actually love the Space Invaders.
Did you?
I
like the Space Invaders one too, but I think that was the one that I totally geeked out about myself. But the Donkey Kong one is really freaking good. And
the Galaga's excellent.
Galaga one, yep. And they got some cutesy ones with like Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man and Princess Peach and Mario that are kind of adorable hearts and stuff. But man, I want like I want more retro gaming. So that's basically our collardables this week. You know, a wonderful Etsy listing for some very warm blankets to keep you warm all winter. Some Mr. Freeze art and some wonderful post-Christmas Christmas cards.
Save you from tears.
brings us to sounding off. Now, last week, we were basically bitching about the fact that DC more or less fired Gail Simone via email in Dick Move 101 playbook style. And Gail Simone's not the last writer, female writer for DC. There are a couple others, but it definitely was a shrinking pool at that point. So then Gail Simone earlier this week puts out a tweet. She's like, hey, guess who's the new writer for Batgirl? It's me, more or less. And I had to stop and go, isn't that the book she just got fired from?
Yes, it is. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, she basically had a Twitter barrage that day, and everyone had that reaction. Like, what? Excuse me? Like, didn't we all just rally against DC for the fact that they fired you from this book? So then she follows up with, I'm driving a snow road, cell is about to cut out, but thank you, DC, for this privilege, and thank you, everyone who wanted this to happen. So then she was asked about, okay, you know, what does that mean? Why, you know, any of this? And so she wrote on her, Tumblr, Batgirl baby, thank you to DC for this privilege and million thank yous. I am ecstatic. And then she actually was asked about Ray Fox, who was going to take over the book, supposedly. And she says, I didn't know Ray Fox when he was announced as the fill-in writer, but all my friends are raving about him. I got to speak to him a little by email. He could not be nicer. A real gentleman. I can't wait to read his other work. He is doing issues 17 and 18. And so basically it's a 2-issue break, and then she returns on 19.
Right, but like she's being super classy about it, and I have to admit it's kind of pissing me off.
Really?
Like, and I understand that, you know, she's being gracious and trying to be a professional, and I'm grateful that there are professionals left in the world, but there is a part of me that really wants to know what the fuck, you know? Like, can we just get someone to get an interview and get the lowdown? And it's never going to happen now. I mean, they're pretty much going to keep their heads down and wait for that to just kind of disappear as a blip in the annals of, like, whatever that happened, you know?
Yes, but they are, because that's DC.
That's the smart thing to do.
It's true, and we tell them, how many times do we tell them, like, don't open your mouth? So this is one of those brilliant things. But, you know, one thing she did say was, I promise DC did a nice thing here, a happy thing. There's more news coming I can't tell you yet, but soon. All good news. And then she goes on a little bit more, and, like, I just... My biggest issue with it, creative teams change with comics, like, on a regular basis. And so that's kind of something that's inherent to the industry for whatever reason, and you kind of understand it's going to happen, right? So it's not... She's not untouchable, you know? Arcs end early, you know, people change writers or whatever. Our biggest issue with it was that it was the way it was done. And it was just douchebaggy the way they, you know, she found out via an email from another writer. You know, she didn't find out from, like, DC proper or anything like that. It's, you know, it's like when sports stars find out, you know, that they're being cut, you know, via Twitter from other people. And it's like, are you kidding? You couldn't have called somebody? You know, I mean, that's, it's kind of shitty. So that was our biggest problem with it. And I guess, I don't know... Normally, when these kinds of things happen, everyone would be apt to say, oh, well, all of the feedback and this and that, that's what pressured DC to, like, give her back the book. And normally, 90% of the time, that's actually not how it works. Because, you know, as much as we rail about shit, like, you know, these people, like, don't really give a shit. Like,
they have their market research and their lawyers and their everyone that's going to tell them how to maximize their profits, and that's what their focus is going to be.
Exactly. And so evidently something else happened, and whether that was outcry and then, you know, Ray Fox maybe stepped out of it and decided to do something else, so then they
Ray Fox, maybe he was like, that's a dick move, or you know, or I don't know.
Like, I don't know. I
mean,
and
this is totally armchair speculation here, because, I mean, it's just, what are you going to do? Nothing.
Well, yeah, and I'm happy. I'm happy that she's on the book, but, right.
Last week I was complaining that, you know, it probably killed any chance of me ever reading any DC stuff, and now I'm like, well, I guess I could go back to contemplating picking up some Birds of Prey stuff, because that's definitely been catching my attention lately.
So will you?
What was that?
Will you?
Well, I mean, I have to circle around Comics World. The problem with comics usually is that when I hear about the really good series, there's usually like a billion books in the series. And then I'm like, yeah, I don't have that kind of money to spend. And I like to marathon comics, you know, like I want to just have like a ton and just curl up in a blanket fort on the couch and read comics all night. But unfortunately, I have to pay for my own comics and it's a little pricey.
This is true.
Yeah. No, so, you know, it's not as easy as it used to be. So it's one of those things where I might pick up a few issues and look at it. Like, I've picked up a few issues of, like, Fables, which is good. I've really enjoyed it. But again, there's a lot of it. You know, if I want to pick up Sandman, you know, I haven't been able to find a way to buy the trades. You have to buy all the individuals. And there's, you know, a ton of that, too. And,
exactly.
You know, even Avengers Assemble right now, which is maybe on 9 or 10 issues, is still kind of a lot at $3 or $4 an issue.
Exactly. It's good news. It's just like you want to know the whole story,
and you know there's a ton. So bad. So
yeah,
bad.
You know there's a ton there that someone's not saying, and then she's being awesome about it, and that's to her credit. There's a part of me though that really wishes that, you know, she had taken a position with someone else. And
yeah, because we're kind of hoping she'd go to Marvel and do something cool there, or do, like, she's working on some indie stuff to begin with, and I would love to see, you know, her do more and more indie work and self-published stuff, and that would be really cool too. And
exactly,
but no, she's yeah,
she's staying, and that's
and
yeah,
I don't
want to
call
cool.
her a sellout. I mean, I'm sure she's getting enough flack about that without, you know, us armchair pundits going, man.
Oh, but see, I don't see her as a sellout. Like, I would have liked to see her do that because I think that was shitty what they did, and I would have liked to just kind of see her stick it to him a little bit.
Yeah, right.
And write some new characters. But no, I don't think she's a sellout at all, you know? I mean, that's awesome for people like me who are big Batgirl fans, and I get to have her write it for a little while longer. So, not complaining.
Are you telling me that I should totally pick up? Are you telling me I should totally pick up Birds of Prey? Though, is that basically where this is ending?
I haven't read enough to be able to make an opinion.
Oh, okay. So, Batgirl? Are you reading the new Batgirl then?
I am reading the new Batgirl. Partly because I finally kind of had the money to start buying more comics. So, I jumped on the new Batman series. That is the Death in the Family, or Death of the Family, and Batgirl's part of that. So I've been reading that, I've been reading the tie-ins and stuff, and Batgirl's, you know, Batgirl's good. But I'm interested to see where it goes after this event. And real quick, before we head out, actually, I wanted to give a little big ups to you, because I actually read your, for those who don't know, Jada, it's actually writing comic reviews over at Women Reading Comics.
Oh, yeah. I guess that would be my plug of the week. I didn't even think about it. Oh, my God, I'm such a bum. I only wrote the one article, and then Christmas happened, so I'm like, all right, I need to write more. I have actually have 4 or 5 more articles planned to write. But, yeah, a friend of a friend decided that she wanted to start Women Reading Comics, and the funny thing was, she was like telling me, because I was asking her what the style guide was, and she's like, you know, you don't have to try to put a womanly spin on anything, it's written from your perspective, it's already, you know, got your the Women Reading Comics spin going just by the fact that you're writing it. So she's like, just write whatever you want to write, as long as it's even remotely comics related. And then I picked up the new Hawkeye number 6. And I'm fucking, that series is killing me. It's killing me, Matt. Oh, my God. I love it so much. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go and just write my first article on Hawkeye while I'm super enthusiastic about it and having a good time with it. So that's what I did. You can go to womenreadingcomics.com and totally check out our articles. We're launching more seriously in January, so now's a good time to hop on, because mostly it's just a rehashing of some older stuff that we've used in order to try to get some website set up, and it's looking to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of good writers on board. We're a part of the Laughing Squid Network, and we're totally going to be kicking it about comics, so you can look forward to to articles from me about the comic Princeless, which I've mentioned here before, and then about, you know, some gaming stuff. I actually plan to do some commentary on the Marvel RPG game.
Nice.
And, and some commentary on, like, how Comixology has actually encouraged me to buy gaming, or to buy more comics, because I no longer have to brave the comic store and you know, and from that perspective and all of that, of someone who's socially shy to begin with. So, definitely looking forward to doing a lot of writing for them. I'm looking forward to, you know, doing writing in general, and I'm as excited about this as I was for you when you started writing for Geek Tyrant.
I know. I'm excited. And for all those who, I mean, obviously the home of the show is on Game Tyrant and Geek Tyrant. But, you know, for those who haven't ventured outside of that, we will be up in iTunes shortly. A couple weeks here. We should all be ready to go on that.
Sweet.
On that front. You can always find my writing on Game Tyrant. And all you got to do is actually go to geektyrant.com and type in Game Tyrant into the search bar, and all the Game Tyrant articles will pop up automatically. And we have some really great writers over there writing a bunch of game stuff. So we try to be a little different, not just, you know, write, you know, press releases. We try and spotlight art and trailers and some different stuff around the web, and so not just make it a spam and paste of what you've seen somewhere else. So give it a look, and thank you, Game Tyrant, for hosting this as always, and they've been great for the show. But absolutely go to womenreadingcomics.com, and I did read the Hawkeye review actually, and it got me intrigued to actually give the I haven't jumped on board yet with that, but I've actually thought about giving the first couple of issues a shot.
It's really, like I said, you know, and the art style would normally turn me off, because I'm, again, used to that really glossy comic book art style, superhero stuff, but it fits the tone of the book perfectly. I actually can't complain at all about it. And then the jokes, I mean, seriously, they're killing it. They had this, the bit that I linked in the article, which you can see a screen cap from one of the pages.
I did love that one.
which is basically Hawkeye having an argument with one of his neighbors about who he is. Because his neighbor's like, we know you're that Hawk guy. And he's like, you mean Hawkeye? Yeah, Hawk guy, like from MASH. You know?
Yeah, that Fraction is awesome.
He's killing me, and I'm screeching, and then I have to read it all out loud to John, so he's getting the comic book read out loud to him. You know, and usually we're in bed, and he doesn't have his glasses on because he's trying to go to sleep, and I'm like, look at this, and he's like, I can't see, and I'm like, I don't care, look at it, you know. So it's kind of an event in my house right now.
Rock on. Yeah, well, yeah. I'm looking forward to reading some more stuff.
Absolutely. Well, that'll certainly encourage me to write some more. Thank you.
No problem. Well, with that, folks, we are out. So hope you had a Merry Christmas. And I guess the New Year's show will be the next show.
Happy New Year.
I'm excited. And we got through this whole thing without singing Wham.
Yeah.
Well, I did a little bit, but you ignored me on purpose, I believe. And
it might have been a mildly... So we can do the last Christmas
I gave you my heart, and the very next day you gave it away. God, that's sad.
That's some great harmony there. I think we should form a band.
I don't think we should. What's funny about that? I think that's a terrible idea.
And with that, I'm going to steal all of Matt's intros and outros. And with that, that's a full lid, folks.
Oh, son.
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 Is that where we're at?
That's where we're at.